evening and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It is the 26th of February, 2017. And as always, we're streaming live on Facebook right now, just like we stream every Sunday night between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can always find that link, guess where, on our Facebook page. CitizenKane.org is the name. That is also our website, CitizenKane.org. You can find all the previous videos, 26 of them right now, as well as the articles that we discuss every single evening. Make sure you visit that and give us a like on our old Facebook page. If you are watching the live stream edition and you would like to join us, and when I mean join us, I mean add to the conversation, add to this roundtable here, feel free to call that number, 267-521-2771, or you can Skype us. That handle is Citizen Kane. And, of course, it's Facebook, so there's a chat room, and it was pretty lively last week, but I'm not seeing anybody right now. Where are you guys? But anyways,
wait until you say something wrong.
They wait till I say something just crazy wrong, and they can jump on and they can troll away. You can always get a hold of me via email. That address is show@citizenkane.org. My name is Conan Soliday, and I am joined by the lovely Shauna Nash, and she can be reached via email. Her address is cherish@citizenkane.org. Do you still like that name?
It works as an email. I've gotten emails from it.
I can always remember what the constitutional amendment says about education because of that email address. The legislators...
It's from the marriage sacrament, okay?
The legislators...
That's how you remember it.
The New Hampshire legislators will cherish education in this state. Doesn't say anything about adequate education. Doesn't say it anywhere, and I'm sticking with it. So, how are you this evening, ma'am?
I'm worried about the numbers you told me to look, because that screen right there doesn't have the 3 and the 4. Is it on the right ones that you're talking
this
about?
This is all you worry about right here.
Yep.
This is
and
the
then
screen.
You told me number 1 has to have...
No. I want you to look at this banner right here.
That's it. All set.
If the banner is there, it's good to go. Guys, okay. I changed it up a little bit. I've got the my video splitter device is got some new buttons on it that I've implemented, put into place, and I'm juggling. But that's all right. It keeps me awake, keeps me on my toes. So anyways, last week we talked a whole lot about election fraud and whether it's even a thing. I don't think that it is. Some people are concerned and worried, and so we talked about it for a good portion of the show. So I don't want to get too much into that. If you really want to watch that, it's there at citizenkane.org. But I did get some numbers wrong. I said that there were 18,000 registered voters in Keene. The document that I was looking at included that 18,000 number as well as the same-day registereds. And I thought they had added those. By the way, 2,722 same-day registereds. And I thought they had included those two numbers together, but they didn't. So that brings the total registered voters in Keene, brings it to 20,901. Now, if you think about the fact that the Keene School District enrolls 3,417 kids, you can see that those numbers, and the population of Keene is only 23,419, you can see that almost 21,000 voter registered is, there's the numbers are skewed somewhere. Something is wrong. And enter the college, Keene State. In 2015, they had 4,383. So that's probably where the numbers are being skewed a little bit. I did get the results by ward from City Clerk Patricia this week. And yeah, it really does. If you look at these numbers, and these are on the Facebook page, by the way, if you want to peruse them on your own, you can see that Ward 1, which is where the collegers live.
Where the college is, yep.
They have the most registered voters via all the other wards. So they have 4,335 registered voters. Now, having said that, they had the worst turnout out of all of the wards.
Good.
So they are voting less.
Good.
Than all the other wards. So I guess, you know, that's a good thing. Now, the number that I was really interested in was what out of the same day registered voters... in November, how many of them used the affidavit system? And when I say that, how many of them had no ID or no proof of residency, and they had to sign an affidavit saying that, yes, I am this person? The answer to that is 41, and they're called a CVA, which is, what does the CVA mean? Challenge Voter Affidavit. So only 41. So if there's any voter fraud, it really had to have come from those 41 individuals. And I know some people, maybe not this year, but they have in previous years, they have challenged that system just to be, just to challenge it.
Challenge.
They had they had IDs in their wallet, but they went through the challenge system here just to make a big deal out of it.
Why? I mean, if you do it, then they still let you vote, so you're not really challenging anything.
Well, it challenged the system to make more work for the system.
But it's a part of the. It's built into the system. It'd be like saying, "Oh, I'm going to go to the DMV and I'm going to stand in line."
Yeah,
like,
I didn't say they were still doing it, but
that's,
I mean,
what you do, you stand in line like an adult.
So those numbers, I think, prove that the college numbers, the college enrollment, are really messing up our Keene as a city's numbers. If they
you mean
don't,
like swaying the elections?
No. Just messing up the numbers and making it look like we have a lot of registered voters, and we really don't.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And the other thing I forgot to mention is they purged the list every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That won't be coming up until 2021. So we'll be looking at these numbers being all skewed like that for a little while longer. So let's do economic development first. So last week we really touched on it very lightly. There is a development plan called the I'm going to change screens here so you can see it. The City of Keene Economic Development Action Plan, which was put into place. That committee was put into place a year ago, and it includes, and wait for my screen, it includes some big name characters, Councillor Greenwald, Councillor Hansel, Giacomo, who was running for that open position last month and didn't get it, got beat out by Cepeda, and Dugan and some other guys, Souter. Basically, Keene, we're having some issues with our tax base is messed up. Taxes are going up every year. Businesses are warning us right now, warning the people, warning the city that if they don't get some replacement human capital, some worker capital, because they have a lot of retirees
a lot of old women retiring.
If something doesn't get done. In the next decade or so, there could be issues down the road. And of course, you know, and most people are aware of this. The question is, what do we do about it? And so this 50-page packet was put together to address this problem and to find solutions. And I did want to read, Greenwald typed up a letter from the chair. It's an opening page. And I want to go over the bullets of what this committee, what this action plan is really going to try to address. And number one bullet, grow, educate, and retain our workforce with a significant emphasis on young workers. Okay, that makes sense. Bullet two, provide affordable, attractive housing and entertainment opportunities, because we got to keep the youngins satiated after their hard work day, where they got to have their bars and their music venues, and you know, they got to, wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I lived in Riverside with students at the university there, the biggest pastime was complaining about how there was nothing to do in Riverside because it was in Los Angeles and all that. Mm-hmm. So, and I know for a fact there isn't much that attracts me to Keene as things to do. Everything that I would want to do is about an hour away.
Oh, so you're one of those?
No, I'm not one of those. There's no museums out here that have anything interesting for me. there's all just, there really isn't much. I don't have children to take to the children's museum.
You got lots of bike paths and trails and stuff to walk
on. I don't have a bike.
Yes,
that you, I can
yes,
take.
Yes, you do. You just
not
don't want
yet.
To be seen on it.
No. Right. So, and you need bars that, you know, aren't dives, aren't full of, you know.
You don't think we have enough bars in Keene on Main Street?
Well, you know how I love to drink, but I think maybe they're trying to get away from a certain demographic that's in bars already or something. I mean, people, the young workers may not already have families, so they need a place to find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that that's, you know, it's not the worst goal that they have on that list.
Bullet three, encourage new employment opportunities and retain existing. Okay, all good things, I think. Next, streamline the regulatory processes, which also makes sense. There's a lot of complaints from people who have done business and have set up shop here in Keene at the all of the ordinances and regulations and the zoning and the rules that they have to, all the fiery hoops they have to jump through are, you know, it would be nice if they were in one spot or maybe less of them. And I'm of the opinion that if this could be all fixed, if you just have less of the regulations, but they're talking about actually putting them all like on one website, one page.
It would be a start.
Establish a group of individuals that will encourage and insist interested parties as they navigate the various steps. Now, they're calling this the Business Advocacy and Response Team, which is long for BART. And
they should call it the Business Opportunity Response Team for BORT.
So far,
that one sounds really vague.
Well,
because it sounds like he doesn't even know what all the various steps are, which is understandable because the process is not streamlined and you do have to jump through all these hoops and nobody really knows. If you're at one hoop office, they mm-hmm. don't know about the other hoops that you have to go through. So it's reflective of how they are scrambling to try to fix what they've sort of created.
Well, I think the main purpose of this group is more driving them around town, showing more all the amenities are and all the business where the main businesses set up shop, and just putting on a good show. Now, so far, if I understand correctly, these are just going to be volunteers, members of the Monadnock Economic Development Team and the Chamber of Commerce.
Volunteers.
And yes, right now at this moment in time, it's volunteers, but I have no doubt. Listening to Greenwald and the mayor speaking about this, that this will be a paid position very soon.
I have no doubt that it would also entail, oh, you need tile for your floor in your new store? I know a guy.
Next bullet, our zoning, planning, and codes must reflect the current economic market and be reflective of the changes over the years. This is something we touched on last show. Rebrand code enforcement to project a supportive, positive service. And the name that I've heard floating around is the Community Development Department. I think that's what it was, CDD, which is, you know, doublespeak.
Well, it's not changing what they're doing.
Well, here's the thing. So
but
anyways,
at least they're aware that there's a problem.
Yeah, well, it's a fluffy euphemism for code enforcement, which no one likes. You're changing it to this fluffy word. The question is, are they still going to run around town enforcing code? Because if they are, which they are,
they're not going to change what they actually do.
You're still a code enforcer, and everyone's going to know you as a code enforcer. Now, maybe if they have one guy who is the community development guy, who goes around and handholds, you know, new businesses and what, and says, hey, this is what's new, this is where you need to be, da-da-da-da, let's go out to the bar later. But no, I don't think that's going to happen. Rebranding it is stupid. And it's also Orwellian. Confront the increasing costs of property taxes and energy. I like that one. But you guys aren't going to do it with all these other things you're trying to do.
So far, all the confronting the increasing costs of property taxes and energy, all the confrontation has been, well, look at Boston. It's a lot worse. Look at how much more it is in other places. You guys have it good. That's all the confrontation I've seen about rising costs.
Or comparing us to cities like Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, Boston, the same thing. I mean, they look around, they say, oh, you know, well, it's worse out there, so here it's pretty good. That's the only confrontation I've heard. And just vague hand-wringing about how we need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That's neat.
Address the need for high-speed internet, which is all you ever hear about these days.
They're
not talking about our internet, because we have nice internet. They're talking about internet for the businesses. And guess what? If you're in downtown, you know, with old infrastructure, it's going to be a whole lot harder to get high-speed internet to you if you're on the downtown, on Main Street. Now, if you move off to the sidelines, like some other companies have done, it's available. But no, this is all about rejuvenating and having a vibrant downtown Main Street, because that's what attracts everybody. It doesn't have anything to do with the taxes. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. It's just Main Street and da-da-da-da. Let's spruce it up. And let's do Marbo Street next. Let's make Marbo Street look just like Main Street. Last one on this list, rectify the perception held by some that Keene is not friendly to economic growth and development. And I have never...
So are they going to rebrand Keene from the city of Keene to the city of business land?
This is a long list. There's a lot on this list.
They're just saying rectify the perception. They're not saying, you know, be friendly.
Well, if they can fix the regulatory issues where it's harder for companies to figure out what is necessary, and having to every time they want to build something they have to go get a zoning variance, get permission.
Right.
And if they can fix some of those issues, they might be able to do this. But what I see is a whole lot of money being spent, and further down in this list, it actually talks about a lot of tax incentives that they want to put into place. One I hadn't even heard of yet. They want to use more of the TIF district, which I am against. They want to use more new market tax credits, which I'm against. These are both scams. And I just froze up. There we go. Let's see if I can find the rest of those.
I'm looking for different types of development
incentives for new developments.
Oh, there they are.
So you've got the... You've got something called RSA, it's RSA 79E, which sounds a lot like the TIF district, but it's for development only, and you can set up a district via city legislator vote, and I don't know what is involved as far as, you know, tax relief or money can be spent, bonds can be spent on rejuvenating those buildings.
It says it provides a valuable redevelopment incentive in the form of tax relief for 5 years for assessment increases. Okay.
Yeah, I mentioned
TIF
districts.
And that's still their obsession with downtowns, which makes sense historically, but it can't be. There are other children. Mom, I guess that's how we have to address our betters these days.
Mm-hmm.
There's not just downtown. There's, you know, actual upstarts who aren't interested in starting a business downtown. They want to put something somewhere else.
Or maybe they would like to build up here. There's a lot of development going on up here in North Keene.
It may not be the best place, but there are other places besides just downtown. There's, you know, further along West Street.
There is an awful lot of the city budget being spent on the downtown areas. And when you consider all the TIF districts down there, money that is going to the TIF district that could be going to the general fund that isn't, it's staying, it's frozen in that area.
Right.
This is really all about favoritism. This is about cronyism. This is about city planners who know best. And when you give handouts to businesses that, you know, do what you want them to do, come downtown and help rejuvenate the downtown, you're showing favoritism. You're also not helping small mom and pop stores who have to compete with these people who are in downtown, because they're over here in North Keene where they're not getting any handout. It's unfair.
I find it hard to believe that the businesses that are up here in North Keene haven't gotten any help at all from the city for establishing
Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, a national chain that just shows up to plot money to have a location. Yeah,
I think we would have heard about that if they had gotten some special handout. No, they decided there was a market needed here in North Keene, and they decided, hey, let's plop one down. Yeah. New Englanders love that stuff.
Yeah. Oh man, they do.
I did watch the rollout of this. So this hasn't been implemented yet. And by the way, check out this is very interesting. There's a lot of good data, a lot of good facts. I will give them that. I shared it on the Facebook page. Check it out. I did watch the rollout, but they haven't implemented this yet. Now this is just the plan. Now they're going to go start implementing. They're going to start trying to get the 79E tax incentives. Right. Handed out to their favorite businesses.
Well,
they're going to open up some more TIF districts. They want to do it at the airport.
Well, I mean, it's what you said about their picking and choosing. In basically, like, it does kind of make sense. Like, you don't want just somebody bringing in from Nevada. Just, hey, I got all these whorehouses. Let me go put them in the middle of downtown. And it makes sense that they would not want that they wouldn't want just scratch off kiosks everywhere, although that would massively bring a lot of people to downtown and everything.
There's a lot of people who say they don't go downtown anymore because of the parking.
I've
been here 5 years and I've never put a nickel in a machine ever. I park where I know it's free, and I walk extra far to prevent having to deal with parking.
Right. I mean, in the basic concept of they want to, you know, attract businesses that they want in Keene, that makes sense.
Okay. So this hasn't been implemented yet. This was rolled out at the last city council meeting. And so we're talking about the big thing is we need to get businesses here in Keene to alleviate the tax base. There's a problem, and their solution is, I have a solution, and that is spend less. Their solution is, let's get more big businesses in here,
which you
I like that, but I don't want it so that they can alleviate the tax burden on all of us. I want businesses here in Keene because economic development. I want the city to grow, but I don't want it as a cop out. Having them only for alleviating the tax base, it's a cop out. That's like wanting a new neighbor to move into your neighborhood so that they can take some of the burden off of all the rest of us as far as the tax base is concerned. No, I would want some guy to come move out here because it's a great place. It's North Keene's nice and quiet.
So you're
it's a good
saying
neighborhood.
They sound more desperate.
Well, these guys are.
I mean, if they're responsible, they are desperate because look at what they're looking at.
Most of these guys are retired, and they know what's coming down the pike. They made a lot of bad decisions, and the budget has gone up in such a way that it's unsustainable unless someone takes up the burden, and that is you and I, the next generation. We're gonna have to pay for all this nonsense.
Yeah, right.
And we're not gonna get a lot of the entitlements that they're enjoying right now, like Social Security and Medicaid.
Well, do you remember that restaurant that tried to open along Winchester Street?
Yes.
But they gave up
on Ralston.
But they gave up because it was just too much and they couldn't deal with it.
Or the apartment buildings right here.
I'm just talking specifically about that one. Let me stay with it.
Okay.
That was a small business. I don't know how they would have fit in with here because I think it was a point where they couldn't afford the hoops to go through. And my problem with this is that their focus is only on growth and only on, you know, solving the problem right now that's, well, the 10-year coming problem of, you know, everybody retiring and then expecting people to carry on and provide that tax base.
Mm-hmm.
There is a massive difference between wanting already established businesses to pick up where they are, because it kind of does seem kind of mercantilistic where, you know, you want, say, Bank of America in Wilmington, North Carolina to pick up their, you know, headquarters, which would be, I guess, the equivalent of CNS, which is listed and there's the big, one of the biggest employers, to pick up and plop in here in Keane. That looks to me what they're looking for. They're looking for big established businesses, a Dunkin' Donuts distribution center, a large like Bank of America, corporate headquarters to just plop in and bring their money. And they would have to bring some people too. And they would have to bring some people and maybe import slaves, whatever. But they would also supposedly be hiring people.
Correct. And
that's what it looks like they're gearing towards, because they want individuals to go around and, go to these business expos and have set, people to take them around and show them the nice areas of Keene and all that. And, have the process streamlined. And just from reading this, to address just those people who are already big and established, who are looking, just piles of money to just plop down into Keene.
I'm sure if you were a business with five employees, I think they would be happy to help them as well.
That's not what I'm reading out of here. Because if you're a business with only five employees, you don't, have them, from my understanding, it doesn't seem to be addressing, gearing the city for business growth and widening the tax base. And then there's a city that is trying to be affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing in there that I saw that was like, what would make somebody who is just a wage slave, who's going to just work until she dies, and that's pretty much it, how is it affordable to even live here at all?
I'm glad you
and
brought
that's
up
not something that I see at all in this.
I'm glad you brought up the desire for the large companies, because Rebecca Landry, who is an assistant city manager, she gave a 15-minute presentation at the last city council, and this is what she said about the required businesses.
The committee also talked about how to expand the tax base to alleviate the residential property tax burden. The question became how much. It sounds wonderful to say let's increase development in the city enough to accommodate any account for any increase in necessary in the tax rate or the tax dollars raised. It turns out that there is some information in your plan in one of the attachments. If we just look at 1 year, in the year 2015 to the year 2016, that would have required $28 million of development just in that 1 year of additional assessed value to balance against the tax dollars, additional tax dollars needing to be raised. And that's just for the city portion of the tax rate. It would have been over $40 million in development necessary to balance for city tax, and, city, county, and school tax dollars increased. To put that in perspective for you, both together, the Target store and the Kohl's shopping plaza, Kohl's Plaza, together equal about $28 million in value. Those are significantly sized businesses, and to see something like that happen on a yearly basis is not necessarily realistic, but it is something to shoot for.
Okay, did you get that? Okay, what she just said is to balance the yearly increases, we would have to get a Target and a Kohl's and another similarly sized store
every year
to balance the damn tax increases. All right, so that
we're
now,
done.
Now listen to what your city councilors are saying to you on the radio and at these meetings and all. They're like, all we got to do is we got to get businesses to move here. And all I'm saying is, no, you can't do that. You don't have the workforce. You don't have the housing for these people. They would have to move in here, but the housing doesn't exist. And you can't get that many businesses to move into the area every single year.
So what did they mean by balancing? So the increase, so it would be your property taxes stay the same. And instead of it going up, they just, we got this business, so we don't need to raise property taxes.
Correct, to balance it out. So there wouldn't be any increases.
The equivalent of a Kohl's and a Target, it was, every year.
That's only $28 million. $40 million of assessed value. Now, that's $40 million that is taxed. Now,
so
just keep in mind, this year, the school budget's going up $1.1 million.
So the grand,
that's just a school.
So the grand total is they would need every year a Kohl's again, a Target again, and they would need a good Walmart.
Every year. To balance out the increases.
That's psychotic.
Well, that's all I've been saying. I'm telling you guys.
It's not psychotic. It's indicative of they need to assess what they're looking towards. They need to that's that permanent growth that, you know, you were sort of talking about last week.
It's not possible. A permanent economic growth, whenever you're using tax-funded dollars to fund those projects, it's not sustainable. It will not work.
Well,
it's all going to come crashing down.
It needs to be balanced by, you know, being less of a burden on the taxpayers and just scaling back. Maybe they shouldn't invest in a bus service around Keene.
Which is what they want to do in this plan. They have they say they don't have rail, they don't have bus service. So now we've got to create that.
You know, rail in Keene. So what did they do with it 80 years ago?
People decided they didn't need it because everyone started getting their own cars. But then the airport is a big one. They want to build hangars down there, and this is all city run stuff. So that
saying they need to scale back in what they're doing and what they're providing, and maybe, you know,
maybe they should only
not the bus.
Maybe they should only do what government is responsible for, and that is protecting my rights, but not creating a bus service for me, not feeding the hungry, not providing education for me or health care. Maybe just protect my rights, and just leave it at that. If the free market can do it, get your grubby hands off of it. But this whole plan is all about cronyism. It's all about we've got to fix the situation. And you guys can't do it, and we're going to do it for you. And we're going to use your money to do it.
They do need to fix the situation. They're just
By getting out of the way. Get your grubby hands off of it.
They're not going to get out of the way. What I'm saying is there, you know, needs to be something else that they're trying to do. I mean, they can't just simply gear towards growth. Oh, not just a Target and a Kohl's, but the entire shopping center.
Didn't I say that?
I heard just Kohl's, just Target. I thought, oh, just the stores. But I know she did say shopping center somewhere. So, yeah, even less possible.
Well,
you can't have two, you know, there isn't enough people. It's going to become a ghost town.
There isn't. Well, no, it's gonna, you know, it's gonna get to a point where it's unsustainable. And the biggest one is going to be healthcare for government workers and pensions. And that one is what's going to really get to a point where they're just not going to get paychecks. And then it's going to be schools getting burned down, or our teachers just walking out. And now that we're coming to schools, I think it's a good time to talk about the school choice, because this is what's coming down the pike. Lovely
the school choice bill?
School choice bill. Which one is it? SB 193. And I'm going to read. This is over at the livefreeordiealliance.org, lfda.org. Great site. Talks a lot about good bills, or bills in general, that are in Concord at the moment. This week, the Senate passed SB 193, a school choice bill which gives parents of New Hampshire school-aged children who are not attending traditional public schools the option to establish education savings accounts. The state would fund the accounts with 90% of the amount of per pupil funding they would otherwise send to public schools districts, which totals roughly $3,500 per student. Now, this is just dropping a bucket, by the way, because the Keene average is $15,500. Now, they're getting another $3,500 from the state, and I think that was going up $500 this year to $4,000, but I could be mistaken. But anyways, this bill would send that to parents to either invest in private schools, charter schools. Actually, that's not, charter schools are already taken care of, or homeschool. Parents could use the funds to pay for private or charter school tuition, tutoring, transportation supplies, or a range of other approved educational-related expenses.
So it's not going to be a voucher in the form of, you know, a check. It's going to be an account.
That can be drawn from, I believe.
I wonder how representatives from Visa like this bill.
From Visa?
Yeah. They are.
If interest is involved and making money off of interest?
Well, you might as well. But I mean, they're massively involved with, you know, the move from food stamps being paper, fake mm-hmm. dollars into EBT cards. Where do you think those come from? They come from a company that creates, you know, the little chip and tin.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone got this.
But
one of these sponsors of this bill had the idea, because.
But it, you know, makes it. It would be cronyism or whatever, because there's somebody who knows a guy. But it, you know, it'd be a pretty.
If that is actually taking place.
Easy, well, okay, let's go. What else is on there?
Well, the bill was passed from the Senate, 13-10. And now it heads to the House for further consideration. Supporters of the bill argue that it would grant parents more options to customize their child's education experience, increasing quality, particularly for lower-income families. Proponents also believe that giving parents more alternatives to public schools would increase competition. Winner. Hold on, I got a drop for that. I got to play it.
Winning.
It would increase competition and therefore encourage public schools to perform better. And that's all I've been saying forever. Opponents countered that the accounts would take funding away from public schools that need it most. And that's the big one, by the way. That's what all they really care about is the school. And I have some audio in a second I want to play for you. As students from struggling or underfunded districts would be most likely to take advantage of the program. They also expressed concerns about accountability, as the private education vendors chosen by parents may not be held to the same standards as public schools. Some critics also argue the program would be unconstitutionally provide taxpayer dollars to religious schools, exposing the state to costly lawsuits. And yes, that is there in the New Hampshire Constitution, that you cannot spend state money mm-hmm. on anything religious, whether it be school or a church or a Girl Scout.
Well, what about the
organization that works out of the church? Well, maybe you can do that, but nothing religious.
What about the state religion, man?
What about?
Well, honestly, if you're in Keene and you got $3,500 from, you know, in the form of, you know, an easy, convenient Visa prepay card, or, you know, just a pile of ones at the beginning of the year, that's about $280 a month. You might as well just, you know, use that for homeschooling. It sounds like that would be the cheaper and most, you know, stay out of it option.
Well, the thing about this is that, so
it could also be used for homeschooling as well.
Correct. And at least it's a little bit of help. Right now, if you homeschool, you're still sending off 52% of your property taxes to the school that you might not be using, or you might not want to use because you don't care for it. This at least would get you a little bit of help if you are using a private school. I know that there's one here in Keene, Waldorf, that's not cheap. So this $3,500 is just a drop in the bucket.
It's not going to do that much.
But here, let me play you some audio. And this is why this is so hard to get accomplished, because the people, the big government schoolers,
mm-hmm.
They say it's for the kids, but this is what it's really about.
The reality is it's going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money, too.
Right.
We already have a lot of schools. Monadnock is a prime example where the school population is declining. It's declining because there aren't as many kids available to go.
Most schools across New Hampshire are declining, and yet, What's it going up this year? 1.1 million. They've got serious issues when it comes to reality. So at least he admits, and this is the mayor, by the way. He was on one of the programs yesterday morning. At least he admits that the student population is declining.
Well, it's
but
known
he's talking
about the Monadnock district.
He's talking about how the taxpayers are going to have to pick up the bill. Why are the taxpayers are going to have to pick up the bill, Mr. Mayor?
Declining because there aren't as many kids available to go to the schools. So now you're going to bleed off another section of students and send them to these alternative schools. And in the meantime, that is going to reduce the amount of state aid for the existing public schools. So you basically, the taxpayers are going to have to pick up the difference.
Wait. Why are the taxpayers going to have to pick up the difference? Their kids are being sent to their choice of schools. They're making money to help alleviate the tuition. The kids aren't in government schools any longer. So what do? You keep running the damn schools? Why don't you shut down some wings of those schools? It's that simple. If you as a government school can't operate and you can't win the trust of the parents, they don't want to send their kids to you, I'm sorry, you deserve the fail. But the mayor is talking about, no, we're going to have to keep running those schools. We're going to have to keep them up and running. How about close them down? I'm sorry, go ahead.
There seems to be the impression that the mayor owns the children.
No, it's really not about the kids. It's about the school, and it's about the unions, and it's about the teachers. It's about keeping them up and running. That's their responsibility. They can care less about the kids. The kids are second on their list of priorities. Here's Dan Eaton talking about pretty much the same thing. I know where this guy stands.
But you have a set fixed cost to keep that
the building open.
That building open, yeah, right. and everything functioning. And when you start bleeding out the individual dollars per student other directions, the taxpayers are going to pick up the cost.
No, the taxpayers don't have to pick up the cost. Let that damn government school fail like it's going to, and let the parents send their kids where they want their kids to get the best education. And let the thing bleed out. 14,000 per kid.
I'm very confused.
Okay, tell me what.
Because I think they're keeping out a big point. Because this bill is about state money.
The districts wouldn't get.
It's only about state money the district doesn't get. Now, the Keene school, local in Keene, they have, say I have a kid and it's in the Keene school, whatever. So there's that per pupil spending. Mm-hmm. That's just Keene.
If they have less kids, they get less funding.
Okay, well, what is that $15,000 per pupil spending that you're talking about?
Property tax, Keene property tax.
Keene property tax.
$3,500 of it is from the state.
All right.
Per student.
So what's the magic $15,000 number? I'm totally lost now. There's
Hampshire property tax.
Okay.
I'm Keene property tax.
There's Keene's per pupil cost.
Correct.
What's that?
$15,000.
And that $15,000 comes from Keene area.
Correct.
Okay. So there's a kid in here that's my kid, and then this bill passes, and I'm like, all right, get out. We're homeschooling. You're going to face the real wrath, whatever. You're going to the school. So they lose that $3,500, but that property tax in Keene hasn't gone down. They're not collecting any less money in property taxes to pay for the schools.
The state and that Keene would still be...
That per pupil spending hasn't... That per this pupil that's now in homeschooling or in private schooling, whatever, it didn't... That $15,000 didn't follow the kid.
No. Yeah, so you're still paying that in taxes.
So they're still getting that money in taxes.
Think about it this way. Because you're paying Keene.
No, I'm trying to explain it to them.
No. But you're paying Keene.
Yep.
And you're also paying the state.
Yep.
And in a way, if you're a parent with kids, you're getting getting your money back.
Okay,
to help you.
So I'm a parent and I'm paying the state and I'm paying Keene. This bill passes. I'm getting the money back from the state. I'm still paying Keene.
Mm-hmm. For empty classrooms.
For empty, fine. Then the mayor can sleep well at night. Whatever. That'll at least get him to calm down a bit. They're ignoring that point, or they're not making that point very clear. Because it sounds to me like if I take a kid out of school, you had your daughter... She wasn't in school the whole time, and when she was not in school, and now that she's not in school, you still pay into that awesomely astronomical per pupil spending.
Because it takes a village, Shauna.
I'm saying they still get your money.
Correct.
So I don't know what they either forgot or they don't know, or that doesn't really help their argument.
Well, it's not about the kids, it's about the school.
And, well, they're framing it as this is about, you know, all this stuff, but they're still getting the money.
Yeah.
So they're lying. One of the things that I always hear from genuine people, ignorant people, and just snarky comedians, well, I don't mind paying property tax for schools, for public schools, because I don't like to work with idiots. I don't like being around stupid people. Or, you know, well, it's a small price to pay to have a well-educated workforce. If this passes and people are sending their kids to different schools, okay, yes, the whatever their bizarro situation is about they think is going to happen, mm-hmm. the school, you know, goes away or has to disband or dismantle or whatever, but you're going to have educated children. So why don't they just, you know, suck it up and deal with it?
They don't believe that it's possible that a parent,
I am presenting a different method of pointing it out, because you can get angry. Because you can get angry and just yell about how they really are evil people and they hate the children. I'm presenting it as, here's a way we can all help children. If you, you know, don't want to help the children, you're terrible. Or you don't understand, like I do, about how education is great for society.
Halt! Smash!
I get angry. No, I mean, it's really...
That's all I got.
Hopefully this does pass, and that we create a new generation of people who do take advantage of this system, so that when they're adult taxpayers, they were able to experience an alternative, private schools or charter schools or homeschool, they're like, why am I still paying for this broken public school monopoly that 50 percentile of the students are actually competent, and the other 50 are failing math and English. It's broken. It's time to start and try new things. You want to talk about something else?
What else?
Okay, this is something else you guys need to check out. Bill. Oh, hold on. Let's find it. This is the Real Reform Amendment, H.R. 7. This also passed.
Is this federal or?
This would be a New Hampshire state amendment.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to play, actually, I'm going to open it up with the sponsor of this bill. I forgot his first name. O'Connell. Mitch O'Connell?
No.
Oh, I forgot your first
name.
Joe. He's not Joe. But check this out. And he's going to open this up for us.
I have always believed that one of the problems that we have in Washington is that there is a giant for sale sign over the place, and that a large part of that is the fact that people who are not eligible to vote in a federal election are entirely free to financially contribute. And of course, with Citizens United, you know, mm-hmm. Katie barred the door, you can now basically spend as much money as want to.
Right. From any source that you can get it from.
From any source you can get it from, a lot of which you'll never know about, mm-hmm. and it's just exactly the wrong way to go. And to my way of thinking, the best requirement would be to restrict contributions to federal campaigns, bar anyone who is not eligible to actually vote in that federal campaign from contributing to that federal campaign. You don't have to go very far. Just look at the last U.S. Senate election in this state. $130 million or thereabouts, was spent on behalf of what I thought were two empty pantsuits. Mm-hmm. I'm not impressed.
So, yeah, here's the analysis of that bill. This resolution, which would be an amendment to the New Hampshire Constitution, this resolution calls on the United States Senate and House representatives to consider a constitutional amendment prohibiting campaign contributions unless the donor is eligible to vote in the federal election. I think this is great. How much did he say $137 million was spent on Ayotte and Hassan elections in November, all of last year? That is an ungodly amount of money that could have been spent anywhere else, except it was spent on campaign signs and newspaper articles and TV ads.
Where you're hiking through the woods and carrying your Dunkin' Donuts.
Definitely check out realreformamendment.org. And it's Representative McConnell was the sponsor to this. And, of course, he was on the Saturday show, and he laid it out. I think it's good to go. Like I said, the process is a little weird, and I'm not 100%.
So if you're a felon and you have money, you can't contribute.
If you're not a resident of New Hampshire, you can't contribute.
If you're a felon, you can't donate.
You can't vote anyways. Okay. Well, how many felons do you know are contributing to campaigns? I don't think that's a big thing on their list.
It just seems kind of squishy.
This would require a constitutional convention, which is a House and Senate majority vote, and then it will go to that convention, and it will need a 3/5 vote to get on the ballot, I believe, this November. It might be next November, but it would need 3/5, and then it would have to be voted on by 2/3 of voters to actually pass. It did pass the Senate.
And the state Senate.
Correct. So it's looking good. And this is one of those things, one of these bipartisan bills where if you vote against it, mm-hmm. It's going to look bad for you.
Really?
I think so.
How would it look bad?
By the folks, by you and I, by the folks who are like, yeah, I don't want, you know, because this is something they talked about big. You know, all the outside spending, all the outside money that were used.
So basically Saudi Arabia couldn't have contributed all that money to Clinton.
If Clinton was in New Hampshire, correct, and she was running for...
But it's a federal election. It was a federal election. The presidential election was federal. She was financed by Saudi Arabia. And, you know, so was Obama. So was, you know, Bush and all that.
Now, I heard something about this needing to be having to go to the states. And
a constitutional amendment goes to the state houses. 3/4 of those have to agree at a constitutional convention.
For us to change our constitution? Or is this for the United States?
This is just a resolution. This does jack S. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything. This is not a state bill that would say, oh, if you want to contribute, you can't contribute to a Senate election in New Hampshire unless you're eligible to vote in the Senate election in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. This doesn't even do that. This just says, hey, we want to tell you guys in the U.S. Senate and U.S. House that you should consider a constitution. This is the bag ban letter from the city of Keene to the state house all over again.
I like this bag ban letter.
I like the idea. I do. If you ain't American, you don't tell the Americans what to do. Whatever.
Well, I don't know that we're going to get that far. By the time this is finally in the working for people to the states to vote on it.
No, it won't go anywhere. They don't want to do anything.
I think it'll pick up steam.
I like it. I like the idea of limiting the vote and to an extent limiting your contributions and all that. Mm-hmm. And if you're not eligible to vote in this federal election, you know, how do you have a say? Except, you know, I can see some reasonable exceptions. Like, say, California has an election that looks really promising, and it's like, wow, if they got this guy in, you know, then it would be great. And I know California politics. I know their problems. I, you know, have connection to there, you know, and I wanted to donate, you know, $20 to the Senator Tom McClintock again for governor. You know, I wouldn't be able to do that because, you know, I'm all the way out here, but I know what's going on out there. I'm not just, So, you know, or if Rand Paul needed re-election money again, up here, all his, you know, Libertykin fanboys and girls wouldn't be able to donate to his re-election campaign in Kentucky, because we can't vote in Kentucky.
I'm just trying to wrap my mind around all of the elections that would be just turned on their heads if this was to pass. All the money that is not being spent buying these people.
Right, but you're a libertarian, so you know how these things end up in reality. There would have to be enforcement. There would have to be just simply paperwork, you know, to...
Yeah, but I mean, even when I run, I have to fill out paperwork indicating all of my donors.
Mm-hmm.
On my campaign signs, I have to put a... There's a little bullet point at the end, at the very bottom, where I have to explain who purchased the signs.
Right.
So, I mean, that paperwork's already there. And so what's the... Per spending per individual,
$2,700.
Yep. Per person.
These limits only apply to federal races. So presidential race. So if you can't vote for president, you cannot donate money. So yeah, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia would not have been able to finance the curb stomping of Bernie Sanders.
I like it. So, yeah, realreformamendment.org. Check that out. And you can send all your emails to Representative McConnell.
Whoever he is.
He's Swansea representative.
Chesterfield?
Nope.
Cheshire County?
Cheshire County, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, guys, we do have to take off. Hold on, let me change some buttons here. Because we have gotten up to our hour. That snuck up on us real quick. Nope, change that. Oh, crap. New buttons, guys. I apologize. Okay. So, yeah, hour has been reached. Call that number anytime during the week, 267-521-2771.
You're not going to play that. Don't play that.
You don't want to play it?
No, don't play that.
I'm going to play it at the end of the show.
Don't play it.
Okay, I'll talk.
Not on anything recorded.
I'll talk to Sean about it in a second. Guys, listen, we are live every Sunday night, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're watching this on Cheshire TV or YouTube later in the week, you're watching a recording. If you call that number, feel free to leave a message, but I'm not going to pick it up because
it's not the phone number to Cheshire TV. It's going to go to a landline here at home.
It's also not the number to Cheshire TV. Get a hold of me via email. Actually, you know what? Check that website out as well, citizenkane.org. Give us a like on Facebook. A lot of the articles we discuss during the episode, I pre-post there on Facebook for your early perusal, and I get ideas real early on during the week. You can email me anytime.
Show?
Buttons. God, so many buttons. Show@citizenkane.org is the email address to get a hold of me, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We will see you again next week at the same time. Good night.
Groovy.
You don't want to play that? I think it's cute.
No, I don't just humiliate people.
I'm not. It's funny. It is hilarious. I'm playing it at the end on the edited version.
No.
All right, I'll sleep on it. Actually, I'm putting it together tonight. I'm going to be editing together.
Oh, don't play it.
Ah, these buttons, man.
We're airing on Cheshire TV.
YouTube. It probably won't make it on Cheshire TV.
Play it now, I guess, for the live stream, but I don't, if you want, it's just...
Hello? Hello? Cheshire TV, are you out there? Hello?
I got that at about 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night? Sunday morning? Or was it Saturday morning? Anyways, I thought it was cute.
It's not that it's not funny, it's just... You know, it's kind of embarrassing.
Okay, I won't put it.
I want people to feel like they can call and leave a message.
Did you want to talk about anything that we didn't cover? Are we good to go?
What else is there?
There is the...
City of Keene and their...
I'm not going to talk about that because
they discriminate against gender non-conforming people. They have a massive problem with discriminating against people. If they have to get this policy in place, wow, man, I didn't even know about that.
Nobody will ever oppress you here.
Well, this is actually going to one of the committees next week, so they'll be talking about it more. So there's not a whole lot. So I kind of wanted to sit on that.
Is there
going to
be
some more.
Anything in that? Their committee meeting is really just going to be them patting themselves on the back for being, you know, getting ahead of the curve, and this is important, and Keene is so great because we're doing this.
Because we're all progressive, and this is, and we love everybody.
If they say long time coming, then no, they're not going to say long. They might say long time coming. They will definitely say, you know, this is how Keene's values or something. Something about Keene's values and how this is so great.
Well, I didn't cover this notes. Someone asked why we don't talk about more state stuff. Actually, we did talk a lot of state stuff this evening, but we usually don't. Because I've got my hands filled here. There is enough going on in Keene that I don't know of, that I'm still figuring out numbers and the people.
There's that.
I mean, and so I mean, I've got my hands filled here. If I could get a grip on my own stomping grounds, then you know I might consider, you know, branching out and talking about more statewide issues and maybe even more national and global issues. But you know, it really bothers me that, because I hear this, you know, listen to the local radio, you hear people talking about Trump and talking about going to war with Russia and all this and that. And these people don't even know the names of their own state reps. They don't know what the budget numbers are. They don't know how much the school is spending. And I'm like, yeah, as soon as I get all that stuff figured out, maybe I'll consider branching out. But, I mean, I'm concerned with my own community.
Yeah.
This is where I live. Russia, you know.
When there's a bill about it, but.
It's so outside of my spectrum that it really, you know, it kind of really doesn't exist to me.
Yeah.
This is my virtual reality right here. This is where I live, and this is what I need to get this figured out first. I need to get a grip on this and nip all this in the bud before I try to fix the world.
What people are looking for, I think, I'm not, you know, really want to hound on the person who said that to you, but I think what people look for is they want to know where you stand on that stuff, because that's the narrative propagated by the mainstream media and the regular media, whatever you want to call it, as what you care about.
And
like, you know, if somebody's liberal or conservative, even though that dichotomy has been smashed by how they feel about Russia hacking the election, or, you know, about Trump breathing at night or whatever, breathing with his mouth open, how furious you are or how proud you are of that.
And it's something that we can all.
You can find it anywhere.
Well, I mean, but it affects us all. So if you're talking about an audience, from the audience standpoint, I could get a bigger audience if I talked about issues that affected us all. Here I am localized, talking to an audience of 23,000.
Yep.
And so my potential audience is much, much smaller.
You're self-limiting.
If I'm trying to sell this if I'm trying to grow the audience, I'm not going to do it talking about the Keene development plan, because it only affects a couple of people, really.
So
most people don't even care.
So you are deliberately,
yes,
keeping to the local stuff, which, you know, I totally support. I mean, and the problem with the news about the worldwide stuff, about Trump stuff, you know, Russia, Poland, whatever, we actually are not getting the real stories. So we would have to dedicate and you put a lot of work into just covering local stuff. It's in your native language. It's referring to streets that you hear about, that you know, and you recognize, and people that you know and you see on the street. And that's not what you get. You would have to put so much more work into, you know, sorry, not sorry, but learning Russian, you know, following and actually reading source material on what, you know, to be educated about what you're talking about. Because if you wanted somebody to just parrot what either your favorite talk show on the radio says or what your least favorite talk show on the radio says, you can get that anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't get this anywhere. You can't get somebody going over the Keynes economic development plan from, sorry, Howie Carr doesn't care. And his show has gotten so much worse since,
you know what they do. So here I am listening.
And that is surprising to me because I'm all on board with, you know, Trump and all that. That's great. And he is too. But man, that show has gotten so unlistenable.
You know what I heard the other day? And I don't listen to the guy. It just happened to be I had nothing on my podcast.
Right.
And I was driving and I had to listen to something. They were doing a death lottery.
Oh, they do that. All the stupid radio shows do that every single year. Afternoon Drive. The radio shows that cover Afternoon Drive in, God, it's February and he's just now starting that. Idiot.
I've never heard it before.
He's an idiot. His show is so, it's unlistenable. And he's, you know, on like the same dude I like, you know, whatever. He's just a moron. But no, in the first week of January, they have something called a ghoul pool out in one of the California stations, number one in Afternoon Drive, where, you know, it's really funny. You know, everybody gets up and they make bets about who's going to die this year. Mm. And he has some stupid prize.
I think it's gruesome.
No, it's disgusting. And it's not funny. And, you know, it's just what I've experienced in trying to cover and trying to find other stories in New Hampshire. The newspapers suck as well. It's not just the Keene Sentinel that is pretty much, you know, not so great. No, we do not need a chump line. No, it's not. God, that is the, and it's the same thing. It's
Joe, you just
thing.
Call that number. That's what that number is for.
God, I hate the chump line segment. No, because he's arguing with poorly edited calls that last like 5 minutes. They're not funny. You gotta,
and
Joe,
and very screened.
Joe, they all are.
Very
Joe,
screened.
You gotta listen to the John and Ken Show archives. They're out in Los Angeles. That's a real show that really knows how to, you know, do Afternoon Drive. Howie Carr is just horrible. And, you know, they got energy. They have audience participation and bring you in and, you know, bonding with the audience or whatever. It's so much better than Howie Carr. And I think they call theirs like the moist line or something. And it is funny because it's edited well. Anyways, Union Leader, half of that is just cut and paste from other articles, from other newspapers. Seacoast, they have the silly, you know, 5 free articles a month. Everything else just, you know, I mean, half of the Keene Sentinel is copy-pasted from the Washington Times or Washington Post, Boston Herald. You know, so, I mean, it's difficult to find what's going on in northern New Hampshire just because, you know.
Well, there's not really a lot going on, actually.
Well, or we don't know. There is something going on up there that's slightly interesting, I'm sure. But, you know, it's just a matter of finding the newspapers to look up online to find out what's going on. And it's not easy because,
well, if anything happens,
it's a difficult search.
Here's the other thing. As far as New Hampshire is concerned and talking about New Hampshire stuff, if it affects us, we're most definitely going to talk about it. But if it's something that doesn't, if it's outside our scope, if it's outside our reality, then no, I'm not going to mess with it. I've got too much going on.
Unless you, you know, email me cherish@citizenkane.org and send me a link and, you know.
There you go.
Then that's something. I don't know.
Well, with that, guys, we are going to leave. I'm going about to run over my hour and a half. Facebook only provides an hour and a half.
Okay.
And then it shuts off. So, guys, thanks you so much for watching. We will see you. I'm going to figure these buttons
out.
Sorry about the bad button pushing this evening. We will see you again next week at the same time. Good night.